Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that's very cool. That hardly ever happens, especially when they're not in there. You know what I mean? For them to go ahead and get it done like that.
Comcast has been a fucking monopoly for years.
Yeah.
I fucking hate them.
All right. You ready?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. 323-870-3857, if you want to call. Let's get started with Habib. DAZN, not the the greatest card in the world this weekend that we pay for $200, a year or month? What is it a month, Habib? $30?
Well, it's $220.
It's about
$25.
Yeah, you know what? It's about $25. That's what we said.
Yeah, if you don't sign up for the year, I think you got to pay $25. And then if you don't have it set to auto pay, that you're going to have to pay every month. If you jump in and out, it's $30 a month.
Oh yeah, $30 a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to cancel. You got to read it because you have to cancel 30 days in advance.
Yeah, you told me that.
So you have to buy it, and then you have to buy it, and then turn around and cancel it the next day.
Yeah, out of here.
Yeah. Right. I agree. All right, so on the zone this weekend, we have the main event of Dalton Smith versus Jose Zepeda. It's a good fight. Dalton Smith wins via fifth-round KO here against Zepeda. This was a crazy right hand beat to the stomach that dropped him.
It was a straight punch, too. It wasn't – well, actually, it wasn't a straight punch. I take that back. He was like a shoveling right hand, the way he just kind of shoveled it in there. Up and under, you know. It was a real sneaky
in
punch.
The world.
It was a punch that came from a blind spot because he's up there and he's kind of like throwing the jab up there as a rangefinder, and he's keeping Zepeda's eyes focused, you know, on his upper body, and then while he's looking at his upper body because he's fending off the jab or at least defending against a punch that he thinks is coming upstairs. He just shovels that punch right to the body, and he had no way of preparing for it because he couldn't see it coming.
He couldn't tense up or anything, man. It hit him. Looked like it hit him right in the gut. It really did. It looked like it's just a gut
perfectly
punch.
Placed. You know what's crazy when you watch the replays of those shots?
Yeah.
How you see the body shudder when the punch lands. You don't see that in real time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you look at the shots, you're like, yeah, it was a good body shot, but you look at the reaction that body shot elicits, and you don't really know the magnitude of how much that punch really affected that person until you see it on the replay.
Well, and a lot of times you watch them, and there's like a delayed reaction. That didn't look like a delayed reaction here. Like when it landed, he went down. He just dropped like a sack, man. I was shocked. When was the last time we've seen a punch like that? Like just a straight gut shot put somebody out. Like
been a while.
It's been a minute for me. I can't even recall one where it was like a straight just body shot, you know, and like liver shots, you understand, but just like a gut punch? Like, wow. That dude must have some power, man. I don't know.
Absolutely.
He went down to one knee. That was it, man. That was it. So really?
Dark horse, he said.
Get out of here. They look good today, but they're playing – who are they playing today? They're playing James Madison or something stupid, man.
Yeah.
So he's got Duke. I think I've got Houston. I think I picked Houston.
Houston?
We're talking about our brackets here, so I asked Beeb. Beeb's brother is really good at predicting all the sports and everything like that, so we rely on him. I make my picks based on him. He's my handicapper, you know.
Tell the story when he asked you who you had and
that
told him.
Beautiful. So I had I don't know who's it.
San Fran, I think you said.
I said San Fran. Yeah, I said who does he got in the Super Bowl? And I said I got Kansas City, And he said, rip your ticket up. He said, I got San Fran.
this was beforehand. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty good, man. Yeah, he's good. So Dalton Smith looked pretty good here, Deeb. He looked pretty good. He's undefeated. I didn't expect him to manhandle Jose like that.
No.
That was a shock to me. I did not see that coming.
You know, I had this conversation a couple of days ago. Actually, yeah, yesterday with D-Style after the fight. And when I looked at Dalton Smith in other fights, I said to myself, this guy's a little bit raw, right? Because he seemed like he was a little bit over-aggressive. He loaded up with the right hand a bit, and he would kind of lean forward, and he would just lunge and jump in with shots. Seemed like guy who timed him perfectly could really catch him coming in and counter him with a good shot and hurt him, right? But it's funny when you watch sometimes these guys coming up and you're seeing how they're fighting a certain level of opposition. And in most cases, a fighter will do what he feels he needs to do on that given day based on that given opponent. And to me, in this fight, he showed a different wrinkle. He showed a lot more poise. He was a lot more reserved in his attack. And prior to this fight, watching him in other fights against different levels of opposition, like I said, he would leap in. He would just be very aggressive. And he wasn't very defensive-minded. But here, like I said, he was a little bit more reserved, relaxed, a little bit more measured in his attack. And early in the fight, you could see how he was just kind of gauging his distance pretty well. He wasn't overly aggressive. He was really just trying to get a feel for Zepeda and keep him on the outside. And then as he started feeling his way through the fight, and he started going through the gears, and then he stepped it up. Whereas before, this guy was 0 to 100 real quick. This time he paced himself, and he didn't rush things where before I got the sense that I felt as though he rushed his offense and sometimes in certain occasions would smother his shots. This was a different version of him showing me different wrinkles to his game that he really didn't show us in other fights. And I attribute that to possibly he didn't need to pull this wrinkle out of the bag of tricks, right? He didn't need to bring this tool with him and put it in the toolbox in other fights, whereas this fight he knew he had to do something different. He knew he had to come with more this time, and he most certainly did.
Where do you think he goes from here? I mean, is he a legit guy? I mean, he looked pretty legit to me. But, you know, what is he, 16-0 now? How many knockouts? Was it 13 knockouts or something crazy?
I think 13 knockouts, I believe, yeah.
He's got power. He's got speed. He looks good.
Yeah. Definitely got a punch. He's very strong, right? Quick. Explosive. You know, he has a good instincts in there, and he's how to gauge range pretty good, right? He's got a wide array of punches, right? And some of the things that I didn't like about him, I didn't really see show up yesterday. So seems like he is working on his craft, and he may, like I said, may be more well-rounded than I thought he was based on what I saw. And Zepeda is definitely that bottom fringe contender, right? He's you can argue he's a legitimate top 10 guy, bottom of the top 10.
Yeah.
Has seen better days, right?
Yeah,
we know
sure.
That. So, you know,
This was a good win for him.
Yeah, this was a litmus test that I felt he passed.
Yeah.
Right? This was something that. It was a crossroads fight. This was a fight where you say to yourself, this could be the exit of Zepeda at the top level, and this could be the entrance of, Smith going, taking another step up that ladder, right? Climbing another rung on that ladder.
Very much right? a see-what-you-got fight. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, questions were answered on both sides. Unfortunately, the question that Zepeda was asked. It was a bad answer. Whereas with Smith, it was the right answer. With Zepeda, it was the wrong answer. You know, so moving forward, he has to take his bad has to take a look at himself and say, where do I go from here?
Right.
Where am I at right now in my career? I'm starting to take some L's, and I'm not competitive anymore. Like, I'm losing badly now. Why?
Yeah.
Right. So what do I do?
I mean,
what's left for me at this point?
Right. What is it? I mean, realistically, can you get back in title contention? You know, I mean, realistically,
yeah.
That's what you, I guess that's what you got to ask yourself. Realistically,
yeah.
Can I get in
a
title contention? And I'm getting beat by a guy that I probably shouldn't have got beat by. I'm sure this is in his mind that he shouldn't have got beat by this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's an up-and-comer. But,
correct.
You know, yeah, he's definitely on the dark side. Yeah.
Let me ask you very interesting. Could Zepeda beat a guy even right now at this stage like Rolly Romero?
No. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. No, I don't. I mean, you know, I know it was a good shot. I know it was a well-placed shot and everything. I think it was the way he was knocked out from me.
Yeah.
I think it was the way he was knocked out.
The one-punch knockout.
Yeah, and that's never good. You know, I mean, if you don't see it coming and it hits the side, I mean, it's the Manny Pacquiao and who is it?
Marquez.
Yeah, the Marquez fight, you know, where it's a one-punch knockout like that, that's different. This was different. This was a one-shot right to the gut. I don't ever see guys go down. I mean, we see it. We see this day in and day out. We can't remember the last time. Somebody said Jason Rosario was the last one to go down like that.
Gets Jermell Charloway, I think. But here's the thing. Here's the thing with that one. That was from a jab, and it just hit him in the right spot. You could see this punch, the way it landed. It was just thudding.
Yeah.
And like I told you, like I said, his body shuddered.
Yeah,
you know,
he's been through quite a bit too, you know, I mean,
yeah.
With his career and everything, and he's definitely on the dark end of it. But I tell you, if this is definitely a step up fight for Smith, no question, right? This is a step up fight for Smith. And man, I tell you what, if I'm his promoter, I'm over the moon with this performance.
Yeah.
This was exactly what you want to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good stuff,
That's
man.
True.
All right, let's talk about Campbell Hatton, Ricky Hatton's son, versus Jimmy Joe Flint. Jimmy Joe Flint beats Campbell Hatton unanimous, 98-92, 97-94, 97-95. Looks like a couple even rounds in there. But look, man, yeah, that's unanimous. Unanimous, man.
And Campbell Hatton, very interestingly enough, had another conversation with another one of my buddies, Maestro, right after the fight with this one, because he called me, and he said something very, very telling. Because you know how Tony Bellew is usually really a matchroom homer, right? He always will find a way to defend the matchroom fighters.
You know, Tony Bellew is a friend of the show, by the way.
No,
Before you go and trash him, I want you to know something, that Tony Bellew is a friend of the show.
Were
you
going to
give him props?
Actually,
oh, now you were going to give him props.
Get ready to give him a compliment.
Yeah.
As much as he's a match from Homer, after this fight, he said, I think Campbell Hatton has reached his level. We know where he's at right now, meaning that he probably won't go any further than this.
No, I agree with him.
And one thing about Campbell Hatton, we'll watch this fight. He's just very, very predictable, very repetitive with what he was doing. Very one-dimensional, not very sophisticated with the offense. Pretty much doing the same thing over and over and over again, basically telling you he's got a sign around his neck, like, I'm getting ready to throw the big right hand, and I'm going to follow it up with the left hook. And that's the sequence, and I'm going to wash, rinse, and repeat, and that's what you're going to get from me.
Yeah.
And with all due respect, I mean, it's not going to work against top-level guys. You gotta bring some versatility. You gotta switch things up. You gotta give different looks in there. You gotta throw some. He really doesn't understand the concept of throwing feints, really setting up his shots. He thinks he can do what his dad did, and his dad just had great timing. People don't understand. Like, they look at like his dad and they're like, oh, this guy's just a brawler, mauler type of. Swarmer type fighter, but his dad had great timing. He would throw feints. He would come in from angles. He would change levels, and he would move his head. He was constantly giving you different looks on the way in where you couldn't stop him from coming in because you couldn't pin him down on the way in, right? But his son is just straightforward, straight up and down, no head movement, no feints, no bending of the knees, stand straight up, no changing levels, not moving the punches around, up and down the body. Everything is coming up top. And, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I give him props for trying and everything like that, but he's just not, you know, being second Ricky Hatton is a pretty tall order. When Ricky Hatton's your father, that's a tall order. Just like Chavez Jr., it's a tall order, man. It's a tall order.
Oh, it's definitely a tall order.
Notorious VC, how dare you? He said Muhammad Ali's grandson is a better fighter than Campbell Hatton.
It's a coin flip. I may agree with that.
Lee Groves, Hall of Famer Lee Groves, said, then again, this is talking about the last fight, anyone solar plexus, even one belonging to a champ in his prime, can go with a perfectly placed punch. There you go. And look at you know what? Let me tell you something. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's also a friend of the show, Beeb. And you always, always look to put him on the back.
I voted him in.
You had no vote. You had no vote. You're not Lee Groves.
I mailed in the ballot. I don't know if they accepted it or not, but I mailed it in.
You don't know if they accepted the ballot?
They may not have accepted it or not.
You.
I sent it first class over to Dougie, and I don't know if they got it.
Dougie Fisher?
Well,
he's not putting him in. Yeah, Dougie Fisher's not putting him in. Come on.
Well, I wanted him to pass it along. He's got a lot of skill. I always call Lee Groves the Hall of Famer. You know why?
Awesome,
Lee Groves is the Hall. There's three great qualities Lee Groves has. Number one is integrity. Number two is his consistency.
Right.
Number three is his longevity in the sport.
You know what's crazy is that we don't have any of that. You know, we can only hope. To get to that point.
I don't even have a tenth of that.
No.
Not even a millionth of what Lee Groves is.
No.
So shout out to Lee Groves.
Shout out to Lee Groves. There you go. One of my favorites, man. One of my favorites. Ishmael Davis versus Troy Williamson. Davis wins by unanimous decision 117-111, 116-112 twice. Davis is a super welterweight, and he's now got a record of 13-0 with 6 knockouts. He's not going anywhere, right? I just want to put this out there.
I'm going to be honest with you. I see potential in this guy. I like him. I think he's a good fighter.
Coughed.
I do.
I coughed. I wasn't disagreeing with you. I coughed.
I like him. I'll tell you why I like him. Because he's a smart fighter. He's very smart. I like the way he sets his shots up. He's got a good jab. I think he's fun. I think he's very fundamentally sound, to be perfectly honest with you. For someone his age and with the amount of fights he has, I like his discipline. I like his discipline in there. You know? And that fight, you know, there was some rough spots in there for him. And I like the way he, you know, was able to maintain his composure. That was a big fight he was in there. It was a 50-50 fight on paper. And, you know, when the going got rough, he stayed the course. He didn't get flustered, right? He didn't, you know, rush and get over anxious and make any crucial mistakes in there. So I like Davis. I think he's another guy who's got some athletic ability as well, but also showing a little bit of ring IQ in there, a little bit of caginess in there. He made some adjustments in the fight. When he got close, he was being roughhoused a little bit, and you know what he would do is kind of push off, kind of nudge with the shoulder and the forearm, create some space for himself, and he started doing better when he was establishing the mid range area, throwing his shots from the mid range. I thought once he started making that adjustment, that's where I thought he pulled away in this fight. So I think this guy's got some potential. I'll be honest.
So much for your email to Dougie Fisher.
You don't like him?
So much for your email to Dougie Fisher here. Actually, Lee Groves says, I'm not a Hall of Famer, but maybe someday. Listen, on this show, you're a Hall of Famer, son. That's the way it goes. Hall of Famer here.
I put him I put him.
You didn't even send it, did you, Beeb? You're such a liar.
I put him at Hall of Fame status. He has the status of Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of Famer, man. End of story. Listen, if he ain't in the Hall of Fame, there shouldn't be one. Just saying. Sick.
Gotta be honest. He has the status.
We don't have that status.
No.
Robert, inside Robert, though. I don't think so either.
No, he
doesn't
have it.
It just is what it is, yeah.
Since he got terminated, he's never been the same.
Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to bring that up? Why do you have to say it like that?
We have to do it.
What's the matter with you? Why you're always messing with him?
I don't believe in participation trophies. I believe in the truth.
Participation
trophies. Right? My dad used to throw me fastballs trying to get me ready for Little League, right? He didn't throw it underhand. If I was hugging the plate, he would wing it at my friggin' shoulder and not get me off
some
the plate.
Music.
There was times where I had to go to the emergency room because Beeb Sr. wanted me off that plate, kept telling me, don't hug the plate. And when I hugged the plate, he would bean me.
He would bean you.
Right? So I grew up hard, man. I was in Cottle, right?
In the mean streets of Boston. Go ahead.
If I went up, to try to get a layup against my dad, he wouldn't just let me go by. Do the right thing.
With Shuttlesworth.
With Shuttlesworth.
What was the name of that movie?
Come on, guys.
What was the name of that movie? Hurry up. What was the name of that movie?
Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Yeah, Jesus Shuttlesworth. It was Ray Allen.
Ray Allen.
And Denzel was in there. Rosario Dawson was in there. She was his girl or something like that.
What's his name?
He got game. That's it. I knew one of you guys would come up with it.
Thank you, Tony.
My
dad used to do that. Like, you see when Jesus Shuttlesworth, when he was a kid, would go up for a layup and his dad would just swat him and knock him on the ground?
Yeah.
Beeb Sr. did that on the regular to me. All right,
that guy also killed his mom. I'm just saying, he did kill his mom. I mean, that's why.
Whoa!
Did you watch the movie?
It was an accident.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he tossed her over.
It was an accident. He didn't mean it.
Well, I'm sure he didn't mean it, but it was still physical violence that caused the reaction. I'm just saying.
I understand that. I'm not condoning it.
I am your leader. How dare you? He said I would never wear a shirt like wear that shirt if I was a Bengals fan. What would you wear? A brown shirt? What would you wear if you were a Bengals fan? You gotta wear their shirt. Doesn't make sense.
Hey, why does everyone give you a hard time just because you're loyal to your team?
I don't know. Because they hate the Bengals too.
There's a bunch of front runners in this chat. Bunch of turncoats in this chat. They have no loyalty.
Yeah. What's it about?
What team do you guys like?
They'll like Kansas City or something like that, Kansas City or Frisco, one of them. There was a, let's see here, March 29th coming up here, because that was the end of the weekend action. There was nothing going on this weekend, man. Nothing.
Yeah,
March 29th,
what
is this, Friday, right? It's Friday, March 29th. Oscar Valdez versus Liam Wilson on ESPN plus 12 rounds junior lightweights. I don't hate it.
Oh, it's a great fight. Good fight.
Flagrant foul on Beeb Sr. Technical foul. And then the co-main, Ciencia Estrada versus Yocasta Valle. Yeah. For some kind of undisputed strawweight championship. Beeb, do you know anything about this?
You've seen
these girls fight?
Yes. I've seen Ciencia Estrada fight. You like Ciencia Estrada. She's one of the few female fighters that you said you did like. You like her and Katie Taylor.
You may have misunderstood me. I didn't say a word. I said nothing.
Don't do that.
I didn't even say anything. And that's pretty much, I mean, they got Landolfo Delgado versus Carlos Sanchez also on there, junior welterweights. So not a bad card, not a great card either. However, you guys want to talk about good cards. I mean, well, average. Amazon Prime Video pay-per-view, March 30, Saturday in Las Vegas. Tim Zhu versus Sebastian Fundora for Zhu's WBO junior middleweight title and the vacant WBC junior middleweight title. Two titles on the line. Raleigh Romero versus Isak Cruz, 12 rounds for Romero's WBA junior welterweight title. I already put money on Romero. I didn't have to see that, man. He's gonna roll. After seeing Isak Cruz his last couple of outings, no way.
You're gonna be getting good odds because he's like a 2.5-to-1 underdog.
Yeah,
Raleigh Romero. He's the underdog in the fight.
Yeah, exactly. Arislandi Lara versus Michael Zarafa, 12 rounds for Lara's WBA middleweight title. So all those, that's a pay-per-view. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean,
it's very easy.
Listen.
It's very easy how to feel about it. You shouldn't feel good about it. That is not a $70 card.
I'm interested more in the Zoo Fundora fight than I was in the Zoo Thurman fight. Thurman, yeah. To me, that was stupid. That was just.
Are you $70 interested, though? Are
you $70? I don't know that I'm $6 interested in it. I'll tell you that. It's just not a $70 fight. It's not. And it's not a $70 card either. And they got, Raleigh Romero and Isak Cruz is a good event for it, but it's not a good co-main for it. You know, you really got to stack this card. If you're going to have, Keith Thurman was not the guy on this card. You know what I mean? This wasn't the guy to draw people. You know, he's not going to draw that much money for this card. Tim Zhu, nobody knows. You know, casuals don't know Tim Zhu.
No, they don't.
I mean,
that's no disrespect to him. I mean,
it just is. They don't know him. He's getting known here, you know. But I tell you the interesting thing. I will tell you the interesting thing about this fight is that the winner is rumored to face Terrence Crawford for the mandatory WBO junior middleweight title. Yeah.
Correct.
So, and that's where he's going next. He's going to move up. I haven't heard word one about Errol Spence, and I don't know that he's done, but I think he's got some injuries. I wouldn't be shocked if he was done. I don't think he's done, but I wouldn't mind. Go ahead.
There's a rumor out there that he left Derrick James. I don't know how true it is.
That, you know what, I tell you, that doesn't surprise me, because that always seems to be the case when you have a long winning streak and then you lose for the first time, you change trainers. The first thing they want to do is change trainers.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't. I mean, I think you should, before you change trainers, a guy got you this, but you got this far.
I agree.
You clearly have some kind of rapport with that trainer, right? And did you do everything that you have to look in the – it's one of those things that's the hardest thing to do, is that you have to look in the mirror and say, did I do enough? Did I cut a corner here? Did I cut a corner there? What would – and I think that a lot of times when this happens, it's a lot more outside influence than it is their influence. You know, I think a lot of people maybe outside say, oh, yeah, he's got to change train. He's got to, do this or do that. Yeah. But you always see this. You saw it with De La Hoya with his loss. Every time he lost, it seemed like he was changing trainers,
you know? You know what's crazy? Tell me if you agree with this. Ever since James won Trainer of the Year, it's almost like it's been a curse for him because it's been downhill ever since.
Well, I mean, look. Well,
a losing streak, right? He was on like a losing streak, and then he lost. Then he was training Joshua. Then like now he's not training Joshua anymore.
Yeah, and I thought I hate this watch. I hate it. I thought that Derrick James. I think Derrick James is a good trainer. But Derrick James had a guy who just got, gotten car wrecks. His car flipped over. He's got eye problems now, everything like that. You talk about the one Charlo, who knows, they're off the deep end somewhere. It's tough. And now he's got Ryan Garcia, who's going off the deep end. It doesn't look to be getting better for him anytime soon, but I do think he's a capable trainer for sure.
Well, let's touch upon that briefly, that Ryan Garcia, Derrick James situation. Do you still take a check if you're Derrick James? Do you deal with this clown show, this theatrics? Because Derrick James is like in the gym watching Ryan Garcia act up like that. And he kind of looks embarrassed, doesn't look comfortable. You can just see it. He just seems like, what the fuck am I doing here? And with that being said, do you stick around and just collect the check, or what do? You leave? I'm sure he's got enough money, but all the big fights he's been involved with, does he really need to put up with that bullshit for a paycheck?
I mean, is there a such thing as enough money? That's number one. You know, yeah, I mean, if you're sitting on your couch or whatever, doing nothing, and somebody offers you $1 million to come do this, yeah, we're there. You know, it just is. Because that's just a lot of money, and you can't just brush that off. But the other part of that is, too, in fairness, we don't know how that training camp's going.
We don't know
what's going on behind closed doors in that training camp. We don't know what we see on YouTube. That could be the beginning of the training. It could be the end of the training. It could be anywhere in between. We don't know.
Fair enough.
So, if we look at that and we look at Derrick James, before you say, you know, he's just taking a paycheck, we don't know. But, you know, we only know what we see. And De La Hoya actually had a good point. He said, you know, when he does those videos, he said, you know, that's like 10, 15 minutes of his life of the whole day. And, he's training, he's doing this, he's doing that. Now, De La Hoya is really another one that really ought to be hung up, because this guy here sees his fighter imploding right on national TV and refuses to do nothing about it. You know, doesn't want to talk to us. You know, it's like, dude, come on, man. You need to go grab your guy here. They said sponsors are pulling out and everything like that. You know, listen, man, if sponsors are pulling out, I would think you would have to go over there and say, hey, knock it off.
Yeah.
Because I like money just like anybody else, and we're trying to get money. I can't get money with you acting like a fool like this. You have to cool it out.
Let me ask you this, too. Like, if he loses badly and you're Golden Boy, do you get rid of him?
Where are you going to go? I mean, what are you going to do with him? I mean, he's under contract.
Just buy him out?
No. I don't know that De La Hoya has the money to buy him out. That's number one. Because he would have just, if that was the case, they would have let him go already.
Give him a settlement or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to beat Haney. I mean, him beating Haney when he's 100% is a tall order. You know what I mean? That's not an easy thing.
Here's the thing. If Raleigh does win, and even if Ryan loses, unless Ryan gets blown out, well, can you still – if Ryan loses to Devin, can you still do a Ryan-Raleigh fight?
Sure.
Maybe not immediately, but maybe have an interim fight and then go back into Raleigh.
We're not going to do that because that's on the PBC side.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So he's going to stick with Golden Boy. Maybe put him against somebody, you know, and get him a get back fight. Depends on how long this guy's under contract. You know, and he's still going to be popular. His social media doesn't go anywhere, man. He's huge. You know, and you got this guy, you know, you got this guy over there on social media talking about all kinds of crazy subjects. No proof at all, you know, trying to associate himself with Alex Jones and everybody else. Man, like, dude, this guy, like, for the life of me, I don't understand why nobody goes to this guy and says, hey, enough's enough. I'm talking about his people, the people that matter. Like I said, again. The promoters, his family, something like that. Like, dude, you need to settle down.
Yeah, just stop.
Yeah. And, like, if you can't make this fight, we'll figure it out. But right now, I he's not in the headspace to fight. No. And then we mentioned Derrick James. And you wonder if Derrick James knows he's not in the headspace to fight. You know? And really, what can you do about that if you're Derrick James?
Not much. You either stick it out or you walk away.
You're talking about a pay-per-view here, right? You're talking about a pay-per-view fight here, you know, with tons of people, tons of money at the gate, tons of pay-per-view, two really high-profile fight. This is a, you know, and, you know, with Ryan Garcia, him and Tank got the fight of the year last year as far as money-wise goes. There's a pretty good chance here that they could do the same thing. It's going to be hard to pull this guy out, no matter what's wrong with him.
How many pay-per-views do you think this one does?
750.
Wow, that's high. I was about to say 400, but
750, man. Are you talking about Ryan Garcia? Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
On when is it? When is the fight? May
April 20th, actually.
April 20th. April 20. Yeah, how ironic for Ryan Garcia. Yeah, but like I tell you, man, it's Ryan's got pictures of aliens. You know, when the money is that big, you're right. You know, when the money's that big, you
it's
know,
to walk away, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you're Derek James, and look, I mean, even though you know the guy's not ready, I mean, how many times do you think trainers go in with knowing that the guy is probably not going to win this thing? We put together the best game plan we have. I think it happens quite a bit because we put together the best game plan we have. We had the best training camp we have. There's just – they know there's levels to this. And if he can do this, he might have a shot. But, you know, odds are against it.
Yeah.
Lee Grove said, Angelo Dundee rightly said that a trainer is only as good as the fighter he trains. Garcia is like a colt with talent but scattered. He needs the right jockey. Who is that jockey? I don't know. Like, and I'm not sure, does he have the talent? We know he's – can he put it together? Does he have the discipline to put it together? You know, because that's what I – quite honestly, that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
It's a discipline issue. Because he goes in there, does these videos, and everybody's telling him, hey, you know, calm down. Instead of going in there forcing him to calm down, you know,
yeah.
and taking the stuff away from him and saying, look, enough's enough. You're costing us money. You know,
right.
I think if De La Hoya did that, I think it'd be a different story. But he's not. So they're doing their own thing over there. I don't think him and I would venture to say him and De La Hoya aren't on good terms anyway. De La Hoya
yeah.
doesn't seem to be on good terms with anyone, you
yeah.
know.
Funny, and, too, when you hear what Joe Goosen said, like, you know,
yes.
when I was training, you heard that, right? The story,
mm-hmm.
when I was training him for Tank, he would show up to the camp and he would tell us what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He was basically telling us. He had his whole training regiment lined up and mapped out when he got there and told us how this was going to go. And that's not how you run a training camp.
No. And Joe Goosen, I mean, Joe Goosen's a great trainer. But listen, man, you have to let the guy train you. You know, you're just going to have to let him do it, you know. I think Freddie Roach would work with him. I think Freddie Roach would be pretty good with him. But, again, it's got to be – you got to be disciplined and you got to be willing to surrender it and say, hey, I need help, and then let this guy work with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. There you go. Let's see here. Going back to the Prime Video, Arislandi Lara, Michael Zarafa, Beeb, do you like that fight?
I don't hate it. I think it's okay. I don't think it's a bad fight. I think it's interesting. Like I always say, sometimes when you put two guys in there who are at a similar level,
yeah,
you know, sometimes it pans out to be a good fight. I think it's a good style matchup.
D-Style Boxing, thank you so much. He said hit the like button. That's right. Hit the like button for us, guys. If you're enjoying the show, enjoying what we're doing, go ahead and hit the like button. Doesn't cost anything. Not a thing. Also, March 30th, on the zone from California, Arsen Gulamurian versus Gilberto Ramirez, 12 rounds for Gulamurian's WBA super cruiserweight title. Alex Rocha versus Frederick Lawson, 10 rounds welterweights. The zone.
Not a bad card. Give him up to 10. What do you give that card?
Like an 8 minus.
Jesus Christ.
530, Robert. Oh. Can drop some knowledge.
Hello,
Robert.
Guys. Hello, guys. How are you?
You told me.
Good.
You told me you're not going to buy that pay-per-view next week.
No, I'm not.
Do you want us to take a collection up in the chat, see if we can get some money together, and we'll send it to you?
No.
Would you buy it if we did that for you?
No. I'm not buying
guys,
that.
Guys, you want to donate some money so we can help out Robbie buy this pay-per-view next week?
I don't think anybody should buy this pay-per-view. That's my honest opinion.
I mean, money that Robbie was supposed to buy Mrs. Herrick a birthday present with, he spent it on the Joshua pay-per-view. So
give me a break.
What's the matter with you?
I would much rather pay $40 for a pay-per-view than a $70 pay-per-view. Come on, give me a break. But
you're not going to buy the pay-per-view, you're going to go to Applebee's with Mrs. Herrick like you always do.
Here's what I'm going to do. Friday I'm going to watch the ESPN card. Saturday I'm watching the DAZN card, and Sunday I'm watching the Peacock card. Don't forget we got a card on Peacock next Sunday. So don't forget about that. So
can I have a sleepover and stuff?
No. But look, guys, I am very upset at Amazon. For those of us that are Amazon Prime members who use Prime on a regular basis to, you know, do shopping and stuff with, Prime normally gives you discounts on everything that you do. And yet Amazon and PBC are charging us $70 for this. If you're a Prime member, you should get a discount. I mean, this is not worthy of a pay-per-view card.
First of all, they should pay us to watch this fight. This is not a pay-per-view fight.
Yeah, that is
even
not,
with the discount. I don't know how you can justify this, the discount.
If this is how you're going to start your Amazon relationship, this is not a good way to start it. I don't know who's in charge of the Amazon over there.
Jeff Bezos.
I know he owns it. I know he owns it, Eric, but...
This isn't like you can buy the San Francisco Journal, right, and flip through the pages and see if you can get cut out a coupon for a discount on a pay-per-view. Discounts on pay-per-views, they don't exist, Robert. I don't know where you're coming up with these theories that you have.
Not to mention, before you blast Amazon Prime, they came out with this weekend, debuted Roadhouse for free, the new Roadhouse movie. Yeah.
Yes, I've already watched that. That's a good movie. Very, very good movie.
The new one?
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you watched it?
Yes.
Dude,
I watched it today, and I thought
it was the biggest pile of garbage that I've ever seen.
I love movies like the
first Roadhouse.
Eric, I prefer the original. But
sure, go ahead and talk over me some more. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I prefer the original, but this wasn't too bad.
I don't know. The original was good. This one, like, had no plot. It had it. I don't know. It was terrible.
One of your favorite combat sports people, Conor McGregor. What did you think of his performance in this?
Oscar worthy.
He did all right for not being an actor. He needs to get back to what he knows.
What kind of backhanded compliment was that?
I know. No Terry Funk? Yeah, you're right. Gavin's going to say no Terry Funk either. I know, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really care for it, man. I thought it was just bad. I'd listened to some of the reviews on TikTok, and everybody was like, have you seen the new Roadhouse movies? Like, it's terrible. They just really blasted. I'm like, dude, they can't. There's no way. I said, it's got to be good, right? It's all fighting and stuff like that. I went there and watched it. It's terrible, son. It's really bad.
You're talking to someone like Robert. Like, what's he watch? Like the Nature Channel? I mean, come on. He doesn't know what entertainment is.
Give me a break. However, did you watch Oppenheimer? Did you see that movie?
I didn't really care for that one either, man. Yeah, why didn't they show, like, the bomb in the end? You know what I mean? They didn't really show anything. They just, you know.
Yeah.
It was dumb. It's like, you know, like that movie Lincoln. Okay, like that movie Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis or whatever.
Yep.
It was about Lincoln's life. You go all the way to the money shot, Ford's Theater. They don't show it.
Yeah.
They just show him being carried out. I'm like, why don't you just show? I don't understand, like, bang, bang, bang.
They don't have good movies anymore.
No, they don't. Like what? We're all expecting that shot.
Yep.
We're all expecting. That's why I showed up.
Yep. No, I am not paying for this. Like I said, I've got other fight cards I can watch. I'm not paying for this card. Forget it.
Guys, we're going to take up a collection and feel confident that this will go right to the Robbie Eric pay-per-view fund if you want to donate some money.
Nobody should buy this. Nobody should buy this. Oh, and as far as Ryan Garcia is concerned, Eric, it's not going to do $750. Unless 750,000 people want to see Ryan get run over, that's the only way it does $750.
That's cold-blooded, man. He's got a lot of fans, man. You've been on the social media. You've been watching his videos?
Look, this will be two consecutive.
Have you been watching his videos?
No. The guy doesn't even have a YouTube account. How is he going to watch videos?
Give me a break. This will be two consecutive large pay-per-views that he's laid a damn egg in. Tank and now this.
Oh, that's kind of, well, you don't know that. You don't know that for sure.
Yes,
he might
I
win.
Do.
What if he knocks him out and then he wins?
He ain't going to knock out. He ain't on Devin Haney's level. He can't even hold Devin Haney's jockstrap, let alone fight him.
That's kind of nice.
Get out of here.
That's really uncalled for. Really uncalled.
This is going to be a walk in the park for Devin Haney.
Ryan Garcia has the nicest things to say about you. We actually talked to him last week. Steve and I actually talked to Garcia last week, and he was like, you know that caller you guys got, the ringside Robbie? He seems like a good guy. And here you are, just trashing him the next week.
This is going to be one of the easiest paychecks he's ever made, man. This is... God. Easy money for Devin Haney.
T-Style, thank you so much. He said Robbie is anti-Australian. How about that?
You don't like Australian?
You don't like
people?
What about Tim Zoo? You're not.
Hey,
who do you think, Fandora or Tim Zoo? Real quick.
I like Tim Zoo. I like Tim Zoo. I mean, I'm not anti-Australian.
I think you like him.
No, I'm not.
I think you're
anti-Australian.
I think you might be anti-Australian too.
No, I'm not anti-Australian.
I think you are, Robert.
Are you anti-Australian or anti-Austrian? Because I can see you getting the two mixed up. See which.
No, I like Tim Zoo. I think he's going to win, but I'm not paying this price.
You don't like him.
You don't like him.
Like him.
He don't like him. He
say,
don't like him.
I didn't say. I didn't
he
say.
He said he
that.
Wouldn't pay for an Australian pay-per-view.
We're going to pick up a collection, and we're going to buy the pay-per-view for you, and you still don't want to watch it. That means you don't like the guy.
That's cold-blooded.
No.
Man. That's cold-blooded, man. He puts his life out there for you.
I did not say that. I did not say that, and don't put words in my mouth. Come on.
Yeah, B.
Now, look, the one interesting part about this fight is I don't think Tim Zoo's ever fought somebody 6'5.5". So I wonder how he's going to deal with the size advantage that Fandora will have. But I do think that he will find a way to win because I think he's a much better fighter than Fandora.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. I think that's a safe bet. All right, Robbie, we're going to put you on hold.
All right.
Get him out of here, please.
Stop. What's the matter? Why would you say that?
I'm sorry.
What's the matter with you?
Get him out of here.
Are you really going to take up collection for him?
Yeah, but I'm asking people in the chat, donate to the Robert Herrick Pay-Per-View Fund. We will send this money to him, guaranteed.
He ain't sending the money to him. You know that. All right, let's talk about our news and rumors here. It's a short week, man. That the zone cards just don't do it for me. As we talked about before, Sebastian Fandora versus Tim Zoo is now set. Does Sebastian Fandora, Beebe, have any shot at beating Tim Zoo here? He's 6'6", 154.
This is, again, a short notice for both guys, but this is a big...
The short notice favors Fandora.
That's what I'm saying because...
Short notice does favor Fandora because he's fighting the guy the same size. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's fighting an orthodox fighter, similar size, not identical in style, but somewhat, you know, reminiscent of Tim Zoo's style, where Tim Zoo is fighting a southpaw, guy 6'6". It's just a totally different opponent altogether. There's nothing even remotely comparable with Fandora to keep.
A dangerous fight if Zoo doesn't make the right adjustments.
Yeah, it's
you know,
the circumstances make this a tough fight.
Yeah,
but not only the circumstances. Again, like I still think Fandora is a tough out for anybody.
Yeah, I think
he was winning that fight. I thought pretty handily before he got clipped. I had him winning every round before he got clipped against Mendoza.
Yeah.
Now again, how's that going to affect him psychologically? Did Mendoza put a crack in the chandelier that now it's going to shatter every time? Because I don't know. These are all good questions. But one thing is for certain, this is a major, major difference than Keith Thurman.
I think he's a better fight than Keith Thurman.
He's a tougher
fight. I think
fight
he'll give. I think he's a tougher fight. Right. I think so. I think Fandora is a tougher fight than Keith Thurman. I think he's a better fight than Keith Thurman. And, you know, that being said, I think that in Ignorant Boxing in the chat said it best. He says, Tim has to come out aggressive. He said he needs to be aggressive early, and I think he's right. I think that Tim's power is going to be the difference here, and I think you're going to see that power early on display. I really do. But it's tough. Anytime you fight a guy that big, because he's going to be strong too. It's not like Fandora's not strong. He's going to be, just because he's taller, he's going to be naturally strong. His punches are going to be naturally harder. It's just going to be, it's tough fighting those tall guys, man.
Yeah.
It is.
It's going to be a challenge.
But you say no pay-per-view. I say no pay-per-view either.
No pay-per-view.
No. I wouldn't buy it.
Shouldn't be a pay-per-view.
I would find, maybe go on TikTok or YouTube an hour later or something like that. Somebody's going to have it. I wouldn't check it out on pay-per-view, though. Roberto Duran, we talked about last week, was in the hospital. We found out this week he received a pacemaker, and he sounds like he's doing okay and everything like that. So, you know, hopefully speedy recovery for him, and hopefully, you know, he comes out okay. Sounds like he's doing okay, though. They said his family said okay. He's got a pacemaker now. Like, tough guy, man. A tough guy, I can tell you that. You're going to have to help me with this next one here, because I saw the headline. I don't know if it's accurate or just a rumor. Canelo wants $200 million to fight Benavidez. Where is this from?
Well, he was being interviewed, and they were talking about David Benavidez. And, you know, he was basically responding to people saying that he doesn't want to fight David Benavidez. And he said, you know, if someone offered me $150, $200 million, I would fight him tomorrow. And everyone's, like, running with that, going crazy. Oh, he's not going to fight him. I'm like,
That's not even what he said.
Yeah, I just think he just was making a statement, putting it out there that I'm going to the highest bidder, right?
Sure.
Trying to fish for some people who want to pay big money for this fight. In other words, hint, Saudi Arabia maybe, right?
Yeah.
So again, I do believe this fight happens in September. I know a lot of people don't agree with me on that. But I do think this fight is going to happen in September because there's nobody else. There's nobody else.
No.
And again, Benavidez, you have to have.
Go ahead.
You have to have a broadcast. This whole thing that Canelo can do whatever he wants. Okay. He has a ton of leverage. We understand that. And he's done something that I've never even seen Floyd Mayweather do. This is a guy that broke two contracts with zero repercussions. He broke his DAZN contract. And they let him out, and he broke this contract with PBC. Now he's going to fight, supposedly. So, again, like, this guy has that much power that he's able to get out of contracts. But, again, it all comes down to you need a broadcaster to put the fight on. And DAZN made a play for this Munguia fight, but they couldn't outbid PBC. So if you think that he's just going to go over there and fight Berlanga and – not get what he wants to get, and that's going to be okay. I think they're in for a rude awakening, whoever believes that. I think that come September, there's going to be so much money on the table that at that point, he's not going to say no.
You're still talking about Benavidez and Canelo fighting?
I do believe it's going to happen.
Dude, that fight ain't happening.
I do believe it's going to happen in September.
You still got to take a pie for the May fight that ain't happening.
No, I said September.
It's over.
September.
Benavidez needs to get over it. He does. He needs to stop crying and get over it, man, because there's bigger things ahead. If he plays his cards right, there's bigger – he will be the bigger star. Trust me. Benavidez can be the bigger star by moving up in weight because he can beat Bivol, he can beat Beterbiev, and he can move up to cruiser. He can move up to heavy.
Well, the Saudis even said – Turki Alashake said recently that he would like to see Benavidez fight the winner of Beterbiev Bivol.
Yeah.
So.
That, to me, is a much bigger fight than him and Canelo. It's a much more competitive fight than him. He's too big for Canelo. He is. Canelo had trouble with Bivol. Canelo had trouble with Bivol because Bivol can box, but Canelo also had trouble with Bivol's size.
Yeah.
It's not a competitive fight, guys. It's not.
Someone asked me, how much do you think he'll get offered for a September fight? They could offer him $70 million, $100 million.
Let me tell you something.
I think he'd dig it.
If he... I'm telling you, they're going to go the different route with Benavidez. Because Canelo doesn't want to fight him, and there's no reason to fight him.
Think he has zero interest in fighting him?
I do. Or it would have happened by now. He's fighting Munguia, and Munguia is tailor-made for him. That fight's going to go six rounds or less.
Yeah.
You know? And he's getting a lot of money for that fight. You know what I mean? So there's no reason to go and take Benavides unless he's getting, like you said, $150, $200 million. Who's going to pay that? Why would you pay that? You know, I mean, really. I mean, if you're think about it just for a minute. Why would you pay that money for that fight? Because you think Benavides beats him, right?
I do, yeah.
I think Benavides walks him.
But there are other people who don't.
Who cares, though? But what I'm saying is Canelo's on the dark side. Is on, you know, we know he slipped a little bit. He's on the back end of his career, no question. He's still good. Don't get me wrong. He's still good. And he's still an attraction. But there's no reason for him to fight that guy. We all know what happens if he fights that guy.
Well, here's the problem, though. When you got all the belts and you're number one, the expectation is you fight number two. And if you don't fight number two, people are just not going to be happy with that. So what about, again, you don't think the pressure from the public, you don't even think that the broadcasters could put enough pressure on him where he wants to fight. You don't think the broadcasters would put up enough money where they could make that fight. So you don't think there's any amount of money that could be put on that table for him to fight that?
I don't think the fight is worth that. I don't. I don't think the fight is worth it. It's not
how
even
many
a question of. It's not
how many
even a question
views
of.
Do you think that fight does?
I'm going to tell you the fight to make. I'm going to tell you the fight that gets fans excited is going to be the Crawford fight. That's going to be the fight.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
That's the fight.
I like
that's the fight that gets casuals invite everything like that.
How many pay-per-views do you think a Canelo Benavides fight would do?
I'd say a million. 600.
Wow. So you're telling me
600.
Haney versus Garcia does more than Canelo versus Benavides. Wow, Eric. I don't agree with
Tank
that.
Garcia did more than Canelo.
Versus Ryder. And versus Charlo, too.
Right.
Canelo versus Charlo, the seven.
Listen, man, we got new kings. I really believe that we got new pay-per-view kings. I really do. And Tank Davis is that guy right now. Tank Davis is the guy, the pay-per-view guy. Like him or not, he's the pay-per-view guy.
Well, how many
Ryan Garcia is another one, man. You guys realize like how popular they are on social media. They're huge, huge.
So you think, how much do you think Tank versus Frank Martin would do?
I don't know.
That's not a huge fight.
It's not a huge fight. Maybe three, maybe three or four, maybe.
All right.
But the gate comes out.
You think Canelo's kind of fallen off a little bit, not only just in his fighting, but even in his popularity. So you think his popularity dipped a little bit too?
Well, I think it's obvious. Yeah. If you look at, again, man, you look at, you know, his last fights against John Ryder and then, the Charlo fight, we were all excited about until Charlo went in there and laid an egg. But listen, that's Canelo. You know, that's what Canelo's going to make him do. That's the way he fights. He beats it.
How many pay-per-view buys do you think him and Munguia do?
I'm saying, Eric sounded like Leonard Ellerbe. How many buys what now?
No, Canelo versus Munguia. How many pay-per-view buys do you think that does?
It'll be a good litmus test, I'll tell you that. I think maybe 500. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Where's that fight going to be?
That fight's going to be where? In Las Vegas?
Yes.
On the 5th? Independence Day. It's
May 4th.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, May 4th, actually. It's going to be Saturday.
Yeah, so Star Wars Day is going to be May 4th. So he's fighting on Star Wars Day. Yeah. In Las Vegas, the gate's going to be huge. You know, the gate's always going to be huge when he fights. The pay-per-view, maybe five. We'll see.
So you think that the star has lost a little bit of shine?
I do. But I think pay-per-view's lost a little bit of shine, too. Especially, you know, pay-per-view's never been the same since like I said, since COVID hit and since Pacquiao Mayweather, that nonsense, you know, yeah. Why am I putting Vaseline on Beep's chest? What's going on here? What is this, like a Brazzers thing? What are you guys doing? Omar Rodriguez over here dreaming out fantasies of me and B. White.
Listen,
you pervert.
First of all, don't what tell us pervert. What your sexual fantasies fantasies are. Save that for your private, you know, your private viewing.
Why am I conscious right now? Why am I the cuck right now? Because I don't. Because I'm saying Canelo's not going to fight the dude. Yeah. Why? Okay.
Where are these guys going?
It's a rough crowd.
Where are these guys going?
All right. And last but not least, Beeb. I'm excited for this. I don't know. You know why? Because I like train wrecks, all right? Big Bang Zhang versus Deontay Wilder is in the works for Saudi.
What do you like in that fight?
I don't know, man.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard, man, because he's always got that equalizer. I mean,
and Zhang,
really.
And Zhang has that low output.
Leonard and Le'Veon Floyd. That's a good fight. It's a good fight because he can be hit. You know what I mean? Zhang can be hit.
Yeah.
You know? I always wanted to see. I thought Joe Joyce and Deontay Wilder was a better fight, to be honest with you. I thought
I
that was
like
a good
Joe
fight.
Joyce,
no, like no, 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 no. Not now. I mean, I want to see him and Zhang. Him and Zhang, I mean, how can you go wrong with that fight?
I don't hate that fight.
I love that fight, you know? And
yeah.
Maybe Zhang gets slept. Maybe he doesn't, you know? Maybe Wilder gets slept because Zhang's a big dude, too, man. He can hit too,
yeah.
You know? So, hey, man, I like it. I like it. To me, that's a fun fight. That's a fun
one. Interesting fight.
Yeah.
Very interesting fight.
Yeah. It's not going to be very, like, high technical, you know, a lot of technical stuff going on in there, but it'll be a fun one. And while it lasts, for the 5 or 6 rounds at last, it should be fun, man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week.
Hey, guys, help out with Robbie's pay-per-view.